Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Okay, Jimmy and I have finished recording the weekend radio show, and we thought we'd come back with you with a daily editorial for today, Saturday, the 18th of November. Jimmy, let's start out with Hakeem Jeffries. He's in line to become the House Democratic Speaker. He was doing a lot of complaining before this particular event happened, though. You want to talk about that?
Well, yeah. So what is the one of the key elements of the Democratic platform this last year, had 2 years actually, has been the whole idea that election deniers, and that Trump was denying the election, and of course, you know, created the catastrophe on January 6th, the insurrection, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Well, Hakeem Jeffries is in line to become House Speaker. He's liked by progressives, very progressive guy. He is probably one of the staunchest arguers that Trump and the Russians colluded in 2016 to win that election. So talk about election denying. That's pretty hypocritical, and it's interesting to see that choice, in my view.
Okay. I think you mentioned he was going to become the Speaker of the House, but he's a Democrat, and I don't think he's going to become the Speaker of the House.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. The minority leader in the House.
Minority
yes.
leader. Yeah. Now, let's talk about the abortion issue that's coming up, and I think it'll be a big issue in 2024. Jim Swift, a columnist, asked the question, will Republicans run on abortion or run away from it? My guess is, I just don't know. What do you think?
So I think one of the big problems with the Republican Party this time, they knew after the Roe versus Wade overturn and the Dobbs decision by the Supreme Court in the springtime, they knew the Democrats were going to run on this whole effort.
Yeah.
Running on, hey, pro-abortion, and attack them. They mobilized very young single women in huge numbers and independents in just three or four key states that made a huge difference in the election. And the reason why they were able to do that was because the Republican Party had no talking points and were very cautious on even addressing the subject, thinking that inflation, the border, and other issues would be able to overcome that. And I agree that abortion should not have been as big an issue as possible, but the Democrats used it. So what the Republicans, in my view, have to do is come out and make the justification for why they support these restrictions on these limits on abortion.
Yeah.
And it's, in my view, it's a very simple argument.
Sure.
You know, you're not talking about one person's body. You're talking about two people's bodies. Mm-hmm. And one is completely independent of the other, just dependent upon it until they're born. But the argument to me is very simple. You're killing a baby.
Right.
And, you know, it gets complicated with rape and incest, but those are very rare cases.
Yeah.
That's a different aspect. But obviously, it wasn't the baby's fault, right?
No.
And what's a woman suffer? And I'm not arguing one way or the other. I think that's a very complicated issue. Very difficult things. But the Republicans have to have an answer for these. And they've got to be able to stand firm on their position. And I believe very strongly that too many Republicans, I won't call them even rhinos. I'll just talk ones that are afraid of the conflict and are afraid of the media are unwilling to stand on their ground on some of these issues. And I think that turns away voters that normally would step out.
Ask you this. Is the only issue they turn away from the abortion issue?
No. They also, you know, the election denial issues, you know, the January 6th, a lot of Republicans that were afraid to be associated with it because so many of them jumped on board immediately to blame Trump. And that was the same people that didn't like him before are the same ones that are attacking him.
Yeah.
And bottom line is it's not really about Trump. It's about the integrity of our elections. And the argument should be, hey, we all, I don't care what party you are, we want legitimately verifiable elections and ballots. And without them, we have a corrupt system. So let's do everything we can to ensure voter ID, not take voter ID away, ensure good counting at the ballots, to do auditing. And unfortunately, the Democrats are against all of those because it puts them at risk.
Yeah. Well, it may put them at risk. Yeah. I would have to say that Trump took that topic head on in his speech last Tuesday.
When he
said one of the things that I really am pushing is paper ballots, one day voting with total ID on the part of each voter.
Yeah, and I agree. I think one day, one ID, one day, one vote, one nation under God. You know, that's the way I look at it. And if you are unwilling to validate and go back and actually take a look at these elections, then you're hiding something. And that's what we see from the media and the Democratic Party.
I agree, Jimmy. You know, let's go on to another topic. You introduced me quite a while ago to a website called Citizen Free Press. And Citizen Free Press is an invaluable site if you do what you and I do as an avocation, which is a weekend radio show and daily podcasting editorials. It is, in my opinion, the best site on the internet for getting information, particularly political information. Well, guess what? Because they made a mistake, because one of their employees who was angry with them basically posted a video where it was very derogatory to Barack Obama, and it had to do with voting.
Actually, let's go back there. You missed one part.
Okay.
You missed saying that Twitter banned them because of this.
Yeah.
It wasn't a Citizen Free Press employee, because the guy Kane pretty much does this on his own, posts all the information.
Did I say Citizen Free Press banned them?
Yeah.
That's not what I meant. I meant Twitter.
Twitter banned them.
Yeah.
Somebody within, some disgruntled employee inside Twitter banned Citizen Free Press because of this link that is an actual link of President Obama in 2008 talking about Ohio, and the good thing the Democrats run the machines there for the voting. So basically, that tweet or that actual video has been out in other people's tweets, but Citizen Free Press reaches over a million people on their Twitter feed, apparently.
Yeah.
And they've got – and they're have a growing – they're one of the top 10 news sites now on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody at Twitter went ahead and silenced this particular article or this particular video clip that was completely legitimate. There was nothing wrong with it. And it was, in fact, something specifically that Obama said. So they're basically crushing – opposition, they're canceling still, even though Elon Musk is attempting to rein that in.
Yeah.
You do have this censorship effort, and it may be done by an individual, or it may be done actually by the algorithms.
What would you get? How long is it going to go on, Jim?
Oh, it's going to go on for as long as people allow it to go on. And what we're seeing right now is a massive backlash from the left over free speech.
Yeah.
They're pushing. They claim that this is hate speech. Actually, words out of Obama's mouth is kind of the hate speech, because he talks about corruption in elections.
Yeah,
this is completely twisted. They're pushing so hard. There's so much money involved in it. There's so many activists like this guy that we're going to talk about on the weekend show, Sam Beckman Fried, SBF, that actually blew this entire disaster with FTX, the crypto exchange.
FTC,
he poured lots of money into Democratic activism. We know the tech companies are silencing people for supporting Democrats.
Yeah.
Actually allowing Democratic lies to go forward, but then canceling anything from conservatives. So is it going to go on for a while? It's going to go on for a long time. Because it's a never-ending fight, right?
Yeah.
It's always a never-ending fight. Until people on the left realize what they're doing, which is actually kind of inviting fascism, inviting
pretty much censorship. You know, yeah. I have to say, I have to make a comment on Obama's comment. I'm not sure he meant that seriously. You know, I like to think that was very early in his presidency, and I would like to think that he was just kind of, that could have been just kind of a bit of humor on his part.
Well, it was a bit of humor on his part, but if you listen to the context of what he said, he actually said, look, there is corruption in elections. There always have been, and there will be. And that's a true statement.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't take away from my my belief that it probably is a bit of humor or kind of a just an outlandish thing to say, for lack of better points. Jimmy, anything else you want to talk about for this Saturday?
Yeah, let's get this out real quick that, in fact, Merrick Garland, the attorney general under the Biden regime, has appointed a special prosecutor, a longtime prosecutor who's now a prosecutor in The Hague, to come back and review and go forward with criminal investigations on the Donald Trump administration and Donald Trump himself on both the classified documents from Mar-a-Lago and inciting the insurrection or the violence of January 6th.
Yeah.
Both of these have been gone over with a Democratic-controlled Senate and House investigative committees. They've gone over it with the DOJ. He is putting this in place in order to drag this out, and he's doing it against the political opposition of the sitting president, to the strongest, probably most – the guy with the biggest advantage against – this administration. This is all politics. It's all wrong. It's all evil. And it will be, I believe, will be eventually the downfall of the Democratic Party.
Why would it be the downfall of the Democratic Party?
I mean, because they're
going to wiggle out of it somehow.
But they're going to keep trying to, but at this point, they have broken so many rules with the Department of Justice and the FBI that – as they start, as there is more transparency, and you know, Twitter and Elon Musk is just a beginning of this. Yeah. It's other news media outlets that are non-mainstream that are beginning to speak and get more words. Citizen Free Press, for example, which is just a conglomerate of different news articles. You know, there's Breitbart, American Greatness. There's a lot of new up-and-coming media outlets that are informing people away from the mainstream. And then you still have people like Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
You still have Laura Ingraham, Jesse Waters. You don't have the support from Fox News in general for that. They're kind of stifling it. But it's going to be hard to put the genie in the bottle against all the issues that this Biden administration has done now that there's an investigative role and subpoena power in the House of Representatives.
Yeah. Well, that's very true. It's been an interesting day along those lines. Thank God another war hasn't started. Jimmy, thanks so much for taking some time out of your Saturday, bud.
Hey, Al, I got to add this one more thing.
Go ahead.
It's important. So Lauren Boebert is the representative in Colorado.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's very, very flamboyant. She's out there with guns, a lot of things like that. And she was challenged by a Democrat for it. It was 327,000 votes. There was only a 551 vote difference, which automatically sent a recall in.
Yeah.
However, Fritz just conceded, which doesn't allow a recall.
Yeah.
Now, why in the world, if you were that close, would you not go forward with a recall?
I don't know.
And, the only reason why, in my mind, you would be because if someone went through the recall and started counting, they might find out that there's a lot of problems in that election. And I think that's exactly what the Democrats are afraid of.
Yeah, I think that probably is. That's in Colorado, right?
That's in Colorado.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the case. They're trying to keep the numbers above in Arizona so there isn't a another count.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, that's a big fight with Carrie Lake right now.
Yeah. How do you think that's going to turn out? I think she's got a leg to stand on. I was pretty impressed when I saw her interviewed on Fox. I guess it was one day last week.
She's an amazing candidate. Yeah. And there's no question she was far more capable and competent than Katie Hobbs.
Yeah.
So does she have a chance? It depends. You know, when you look at the numbers, of the congressional districts and how Republicans voted in the in those districts versus how they voted, how the numbers counted out for statewide offices where the Democrats ran the gamut of all four. Mm-hmm. It looks very odd. There's a huge discrepancy between the local congressional Republican vote versus the statewide vote. And that if that gets, you know, reviewed, I just saw an article that the entire city of Berlin had to redoing an election from last year after the court saw it because of exactly this type of corruption.
Well, let's see what happens. I guess it has been an interesting day today. Jim, thanks so much.
You bet, Al.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.